Well, now that I've been embarrassed, I don't know if I can talk or not. So, anyway, today I'd like to speak about Christian privileges and responsibilities. Today we're going to look in two areas of the Christian life. Like I say, the privileges and responsibilities. Of course, this, because it's of the short time, it will not be in depth. You may thank for that, because I'm going to bounce through a lot of Ephesians. The problem boils down to is when we went through Ephesians in brown bag, it took us over a year. So I'm going to cover chapter 1, chapter 2 of Ephesians, chapter 4, so you can understand. It's going to be very surface. Okay. So let's start with Ephesians, and we're going to start with chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ in every spiritual blessing, in every heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious name, which he has blessed us in the beloved. That there we could spend three Sundays on real easy, but we're not. So we'll continue in verse 7. In him we have redemption through the blood and forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, in heaven and things on earth. Wow. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to his counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Now, verse 3 here, we're going to bounce back. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Notice it doesn't say a limited number. Notice it doesn't say until you do better. But every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So let's look at one of the first ones, Romans 5:5, love. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Okay, notice there. He didn't love us just a little bit. It's the word says he poured out his love. He didn't say there was any contingencies either, did he? As a believer, God loves you today, tomorrow, forever. He will not take away that love. It will not be diminished. It will not be increased. He will love you with all of his love. He poured it out all. Another one of the spiritual blessings is peace. Okay. We look at John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. God's peace, this is one of the blessings that we receive as born-again believers. His peace that allows us to overcome every fear. There should be our lives, and grant you, the human side of us is fearful of a lot of things. The spiritual side is not. There is nothing to fear, period, except God. It says, do not fear anything except God. And that word, fear God, in that aspect is respect him. But also realize, just like your father, you know, your earthly father, if he was a good father. A lot of us come from homes that may not have been just the best. Some of us do, some of us don't. So your father was put there to correct you because he loved you. But it was also, when you climbed on his lap, it was Abba, Father. It was that close, intimate relationship. And this is the relationship, this is the peace that we have with our Heavenly Father. The world, if we look at it today, it's spiraling down quickly. We look at the war, they started another war in Israel, and there's war going on in Ukraine, and there's all of the turmoil, there's riots in the street. World's going away quickly to the evil side. In that, we're not to be fearful. We're to have God's peace, that he is in control of everything. Okay, let's look at the next one. Joy. Let me just say one thing about before I read this verse. The only one that can take away your joy in God is you. It's us that sacrifices it. And what will reduce our joy? Sin reduces our... when we sin and we disobey, guess what? Our relationship, not on God's part, but on our part, is reduced. And the fellowship with the Father is reduced because of us. So we look at that for joy. I look at John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be half full? No, full. Okay, there again. I have to point out that where the problem boils down to isn't God. He wants us to walk with him and to be full of joy. Now, that doesn't mean we're always happy. Now, we can go to the happiest place in the world, or at least it's supposed to be. Disneyland. Yeah. Anyway. But no, the happiest place in the world should be right here. You should be full of the Holy Spirit, meaning you're fully obedient. And in that state of being, you will be full of God's joy. And like I say, when we sin, we need to be quick to repent, to turn away from our sin and run back to the Father to restore our joy. Nothing that God does. We are the ones that give it away through our actions. The next aspect here is strength of the blessings. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now that's been used out of, and there again, you need to go back and read the whole passage. It's talking about being content, but it's also talking about, through him that strengthens me. How much strength do I have in me? Well, guess what? I have God that resides within me in the Holy Spirit. Okay, me? A very, very weak, folks. No strength. But he that resides in me is greater than he that resides in the world. And like I say, don't take this out of context. Take it in context, the contentment and knowing obedience. Okay? And God in obedience will be your strength. And that's one of the blessings. God being your strength. Okay. And especially the idea that strength is to be conquerors. We're to overcome the world. We're to overcome sin in our lives. That's where the major portion of that strength needs to be. The third point here, as far as all spiritual blessings, is we are complete. We're not half, we're complete. The Living Translation, I like it, of this here, of Colossians 2:10. So you also are complete through the union of Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. It says there, you are complete. There's nothing that you lack. Okay? No, there's battles that go on, but we are lacking nothing. Verse 3 tells us that we have been born again. Every born-again believer has every resource that we need. We have the love, the peace, the joy, the strength. We are complete in Christ, lacking nothing. Jump down to verse 5 and cherry pick that there. Predestined for adoption. Okay. When we think of adoption, we think of adopting a child. Okay. And as a child is adopted by us human people, okay, what do we provide? We provide all of the love that we can humanly provide. That's the hope. We provide shelter. And we provide security. And maybe, you know, if we have anything left by, you know, for the government, don't take it all away. Maybe some inheritance. But God, much more than that. Okay. He implants His nature within us. When we are born again, we become a new creation. We're adopted, but now we become a new creation. So unlike a human adoption, when God adopts us as His child, He implants in us the Holy Spirit. We are, in fact, a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, as a new creation, Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as son, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Wow. I was adopted. I don't know that I could ever cry, Abba, Father, to the depth that I can cry, Abba, Father, to my Heavenly Father. When He adopted me, He changed me. He provided me everything, every spiritual blessing. He gave me the Holy Spirit. I don't always act like that. I don't always act like I should. But He still loves me and continues the good work that He started. He will continue that good work in our lives as we are transformed moment by moment. But the biggest thing is, I have a relationship. Every born-again believer has that relationship that he can cry out to his Father. He can come and sit on His lap. And He listens. Let's jump down to verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Every born-again believer receives freedom from their former master. You've been set free from sin and death. Every person born on this earth starts out owned by sin and death. And we've been set free from it. As Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, and this is paramount. We need to hide this way in our hearts. Therefore is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Every sin that we ever committed or will commit will not be held against us. We are forgiven. Okay. Now, as Paul says, heaven forbid going on sinning. No. we don't go on sinning. But when we do, and we will, we are forgiven. We need, and because sin has such a negative effect on our life, on our joy, peace, and usefulness, and ability to serve, and the richness of communication, we need to be quick to repent. That's our lifestyle. It's like when you walk down the street and step in a doggy pile. You want to get that doggy pile off you as quick as possible. Okay, this is the way of sin. Okay, when we step in it, when we fall, we want to stand up quickly and repent and turn back, turn away from that sin and turn to our Heavenly Father. Verse 13, in Him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. When we were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, I see four major benefits out of that. Security. We are, and nothing can change the fact, as we look at Romans 8, 38 and 39, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present or things to come, or powers, nor height or depth, or anything else in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Once we're His child, nothing can snatch us out of His hands. Oh, I feel sorry for those that believe that they have to repent every second, or otherwise they're going to lose their salvation. They're not reading the Word right. Jesus is holding on to us. If we were holding on to Jesus, guess what? About the first distraction, chicken! We'd fall. But we don't. Because Christ is holding on to us. We're not holding on to Christ. Okay. That doesn't mean that we're not supposed to walk close, hold on tight. That just means that we're secure. So if you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, you are secure in Christ. The second thing of the Holy Spirit indwelling is authenticity. Yeah, get that word right. Okay, Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself bears witness to our spirit that we are children. Okay, you want to know if you're a child of God? Yeah, Holy Spirit indwelling? No problem, you are. In fact, actually, one of the biggest things is if you're fighting against sin instead of going with the flow, that's a pretty good indication that you're one of His. Now, when you look at your life and say, oh no, I stepped in it again, and it concerns you, that's a very good indication that you're His. Because most of the world isn't concerned about their life, it's all about me. Okay, it doesn't matter about the other guy, it's all about me. No, our life needs to be Christ-centered, full of the Holy Spirit, meaning full of obedience. Okay, and when we're that way, okay, when we sin, it hurts us. We know it because we know it hurts the Heavenly Father and we want to turn away. So when we're conscious of what we're doing and we sin, okay, the Holy Spirit convicts us. So we're authentically His children. The next thing is ownership. Okay, Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Guess what? Sons of God. He bought us with a price. He paid the price. He owns us. And that Holy Spirit indwelling says, He owns us. Okay. What, not the devil, not the world. Okay. God owns us. So the Holy Spirit shows us that there's ownership there. And the fourth one I want to bring forth. And as I go through these things, folks, remember, this is just a skim over the top. There's a whole lot more meat in here. So go back and read Ephesians here. Anyway, the next one would be authority. And in the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, gave us authority. Okay, Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We have authority to speak the truth. Not only do we have authority, but we are encouraged. We'll go to that a little later. Okay. Now, that's all I'm going to go to as far as privileges. And you can see that I've cherry-picked out of the passage. And there's a whole lot more privileges that can be greatly expanded upon in that passage. So, but now we're going to take a glance at and look at the responsibilities of a Christian. Many people will go to great lengths to join clubs or teams, and in doing so, agree to abide by their goals and rules in exchange for benefits if they receive. It's interesting today. As we receive the cash that's into the body, oh gee, what did Tony read? Well, there were sort of some obligations on the cash's problem side. There were sort of some obligations on the congregation side. Okay. So Christianity is not a club. They didn't join a club. They joined a fellowship. They joined a relationship. Okay. And in relationships, the first and the foremost relationship as a believer is with God. Okay? Number one relationship above everything else. God is above Nancy. Okay. My beloved wife. Okay. God has to be above everything. Okay? Number one relationship. The second relationship is with believers. Okay? And the final relationship is with the world. So we're going to look at those three things. But just keep in mind, our relationships, first God, second into the neighbors, okay? Third, into the world. We have three basic relationships that we need to deal with as Christians. Okay. And since all of us believers came from the world, we've got baggage. I don't know if any of you noticed. I noticed I had a little bit of baggage from the world. You know, still working on dumping the baggage. Now, if I went on the airlines, that'd be no problem. I could lose the baggage real easy. But this ain't an airline to lose the baggage on. But we have baggage in our lives. I don't care when you receive Christ. If you receive Christ as a child, you still have baggage. Okay. And our goal as believers is to get rid of that baggage. And we start out on this journey where it's all about me. Take a little child. It doesn't become about, oh, that mommy and daddy does it. It becomes about, oh, I'm hungry, want to eat now. Oh, I need entertainment. Oh, I need. All about? Okay, well, we're the same way. It's all about me. That's what the flesh is. It's all about me. What the final part of that journey is, the journey to be Christ-like. It's not about me. It's about God. So that's the battle. That's the fight of fighting that old nature. Okay. So starting in Ephesians 4, 1 to 6. Okay. Therefore, a prisoner of the Lord urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you have been called. With all humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to all. Your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. Okay. One body. Okay. If we look at that, And we said, first, it's the relationship with God. Okay. Second of all, it's a relationship between our neighbors. You're not only my brothers and sisters, but you're my neighbors. Okay. And that. Okay. So if we think about the body, now, not all of us take the greatest care of our body. It's evident as time's gone by. But when we're thinking about the body and taking care of the body, and we're to think about the body of Christ more so than me, okay? When I get hungry, I feed this body, okay? I also clothe it. I'm supposed to take care of it, and sometimes I do exercise and things like that. They're supposed to take care of it, but not so well. But no matter how poorly I do, I still look after this body. And that's what we're supposed to do in the body of Christ. Now, if I look at part of it, okay, it says with gentleness and patience in the scripture there. Well, as I've gotten older, I've had to, out of necessity, treat my body with a lot more gentleness and patience. And try not to get frustrated with it. Okay, so now I'm going to bring it around to you and me. Okay. People in the body get under my skin. And I'm sure that I get under some people's skin too. Okay, it's just part of it. Okay. And if you don't have anybody that gets under your skin, okay, your circle of friends is too small. Okay. We all need to grow in character. We all need to grow in patience and long-suffering. So I would encourage you, like I say, if you have nobody that gets under your skin, reach out to more people. Because it only through trials and tribulations, only through those frustrations do we grow. Okay. And I would say, if you're like me, I don't have to stretch out too far. my personality at times. Oh, dear. Anyway. Bearing with one another in love. Okay. This is part of our responsibility is to bear. And there again, now, the frustrations, if we're bearing within love, we won't have too many of those. We will. Some. Okay. So we're supposed to bear with one another in love. So what does that look like? Well, first of all, the love is agape love. What is agape love? Agape love is, actually, I like the King James version. Okay. King James and agape love, you know, expresses it the word charity. Okay, now think about that for just a moment. If I'm giving somebody charity, what is my expectation? It better be zero, because otherwise it's not charity. Okay, that is agape love. When we're loving our brothers and sisters and loving the, you know, appropriately, there is no expectations of anything coming back. You see, this is the problem with the world and marriage today. Oh, it's 50-50. No, it's not. It's 100-100. It is loving with no expectation. As soon as we expect out of somebody, guess what? First of all, it's not agape love. That's not the love that God's calling to. And number two, they will fail in our eyes. Darn. Problem there. So our relationships need to be with agape love. No expectations. Now, I'll tell you, with Nance, her love has changed me immensely. God has worked through her to embrace agape love. I got a long way to go, folks. You know, I still want to bite people's heads off at times. God has worked with me a bit, so I don't, I'm not quite so quick. Quite so quick. But anyway, there again, our love in the body and our reciprocating love with one another helps grow us in that arena. When we're dealing with people that frustrate us, and there again, every one of you have different gifts, and we'll get to that in a minute. Okay. But they're different. We're all different. So some neat freak is going to come along and say, okay, I've been gifted in organization and everything here, and all little ducks need to be in a row. And somebody come along and said, oh, I'm a creative person. Let's mess up those ducks and move them around a little bit here. This looks a little more creative. Guess what? There's just a broad aspect right there that gives two opportunities. We can love one another and respect their gifts, look at their gifts, embrace it. I mean, it's like painting this sanctuary. If it was me, it'd be all white. There would be no colors and contrast. It'd be all white. I don't have that gift of, you know, different colors. But thank God that he put all of the different aspects of the body for the fullness and the completeness that we can serve together. And all of those differences, Tony says, okay, when we look through our gift goggles, we have two options here. A, to get frustrated with them, or B, realize that there are different perspectives and we need to work together in love to seek out the truth. So, and this is, you know, I mean, I think it's the biggest thing is it shows up in our marriages. God attracts the opposites. So guess what? In that intimate relationship with our better half that is opposite of us, we can either look and say, gee, one's looking this way, one's looking that way. We've got it covered through Christ. Or we can look at each other and say, gee, I don't like your way. We need to look at the idea that he put us there for fullness. We're incomplete. This body needs every one of you, every one of your gifts. Okay. Speaking of gifts, I jumped ahead. So I'm going to read Ephesians 4, 7 to 10. And I'm okay. But grace was given to each one of us ascending to the measure. Oh, excuse me, ascending. According to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. Saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower region of the earth. And he who descended from the one who also ascended far above in all heavens, that he might fill all things. Okay, I'm out of that whole thing there. There's a whole other bunch of stuff in there. But I'm just going to take out the one thing. When Christ ascended, gave us the Holy Spirit, he gave us gifts. And that's what I'm talking about, gifts, is, you know, that everyone was given a gift. Okay, now, what for? Oh, so we can, I got a gift, oh boy. No. 1 Peter 4, 10, 11. Each one of us received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good servants of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. And I'm going to jump off this here, the track I'm on, and just say pick a couple things out of this. First of all, we're given a gift. That is, the gift is to serve in the body. We're given a lot of talents. Okay. Non-saved people have a lot of talents. But we're in a gift, and that gift is powered by the Holy Spirit. Okay. So when somebody says, okay, fine, I do this here, and it's so easy, what's your problem? The problem boils down to is they're operating under the power of the Holy Spirit with the gift that God gave them. Not talents. That's another thing. Everybody's been talents. But a gift from God to serve in the body is a spirit gift that God gave us, everyone. And for us, looking at our gifts, it just seems so easy to do that. So the person over there that's struggling, and you look at him and say, what's your problem? When they say, okay, fine. Well, look at that. Look at the room needs to be painted this way. Okay, that's their gift, not mine. You see, embrace your fellow believers' gifts. Okay. So everybody's been given gifts. But just another part there in 1 Peter. Everything God may... Okay. That in everything God may be glorified. By the way, folks, that is our primary goal in life. In all that we do, that God may be glorified. We need to live a glorifying life. But that's an extra note. So we'll go on. Now, back to your chicken. Now, we're looking at gifts. I'm going to jump on that a little bit more. Now that is to say that to serve in the body means a gift is... Okay, not all gifts that we have are directed inward toward the body. Okay? Some of them, like an evangelist, is directed outside of the body. Okay, so it's serving the body. Evangelist serves the body. Okay? And the idea of fulfilling the Great Commission, okay, and leading into that aspect. But he's not directed. Pastor Tony, in his service, is directed into the body, okay, if that makes any sense. Both of them are serving the body. One focus is out into the world, going into the world. The other one is equipping the saints, okay. Now, just because you're not an evangelist doesn't let you off the hook. Romans 8:28 tells all believers, the direction of growth is to become like Christ. Okay, so if we're to become Christ-like, which one of the gifts did Christ not use? Anybody? He used all of them. Okay, so as a believer, even though we are not gifted by the Holy Spirit in all areas, we are to exercise all areas. Okay, we're not evangelists. Boy, you know, you look at Billy Graham's life. Wow, go into the world. Reach those lost. Okay, he was an evangelist. Okay. We're not evangelists, all of us. In fact, actually, let's look at what God gave the church. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. He gave them apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, our shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Okay, now, everybody lift up their Bible. Okay. You have in your hands the prophets and the apostles' teachings. Okay. The apostles and prophet have left the scenes. Okay. The next time you walk into somebody and say, I'm a prophet or I'm an apostle, ask them to perform a miraculous sign. They went away. Okay, you have them in your hand. The teachings of the apostles and the teachings of the prophets are right there in your hand. What God now has to equip the church is the pastor, or is the evangelist and the pastor teacher. Now, I don't separate that pastor teacher. It is a pastor teacher. Okay, so the evangelist being the individual that focuses on sharing the good news to the lost, along with providing the leadership and training in the body for us to evangelize. So, evangelist, part of his job is to teach us how to evangelize and watch how he does it. Now, the pastor teacher the pasture, which in Greek word translates to shepherd, okay, which is to care, protect, and lead, provide the leadership of us sheep. Everybody go, bah. No, you don't have to. Okay, anyway, and that's the that's Tony's primary function. That is his focus, and he has done a fantastic job over the many, many years that he has been here. And if we think about it, what is the biggest threat to the body of Christ? To the sheep. False teachers. Yeah, absolutely. False teachers. Okay. So Tony's job is to teach us the word. Is so when we hear something said, it should ring in our heads, true or false. And if we have any question, in fact, actually, even if we don't have any question, as Tony has taught us, ABC, always be checking. Just like in Acts, the Bereans, okay, they listened to Paul and listened to what Paul had to say. Took it all in, and then went home and verified everything he said. You should be going home, and everything that I have said here, especially if there's anything that brings any question in your mind, okay, you should look it up. And if you love me, if I've misspoken, which I have in the past, and will in the future, I try not to, but you should come to me and say, by the way, Mike, where did you get that? Okay. So always be checking and always be willing to, in love, share, if you found something contrary. Or actually, just for clarification, sometimes there's hard topics that aren't just real clear. Okay. That we have to go back and look. And there are, in the Bible, surprise, surprise, debatable things that it's fun to talk about. And there's nothing in the Bible that's not important. Now, even eschatology about how it's going to unfold in the future. But guess what? I liked what Pastor Dan said. The idea is so much easier to look behindsight and see, oh yeah, this is the way it was fulfilled. When we look at Daniel, that's real great. We can look at what Daniel said, verify it. And the nice thing about that there is we look at Daniel and we see, this was all fulfilled. Guess what? Just like it said, the prophecy of Christ was fulfilled. Just like it said. Guess what? Revelations, and you might be surprised, a whole lot of the prophecy of the future isn't just Revelations. Revelation's just an outline. In order to get a fuller picture, you have to go back to the Old Testament. Look at Isaiah, look at Jeremiah, look at the Old Testament. A whole bunch of prophecy of what is still to come back there. But anyway, so there are a lot of debatable items, but we need to look at them. The biggest thing that I tell a lot of people is, when you see worldwide peace, and if we're still here, you better start reading Revelation real quick. Because it's going to unfold and show you exactly what's going to happen. But that's the key first element. Other than, some of us will debate that, I think we're going to be gone by that point in time. And anyway, that's another whole thing. But those are fun to talk about. Eschatology is fun to talk about. And it's important to talk about. To realize it's God's promise. Because in the end it says, guess what? God wins. Our job is to fight each battle. Will we win? Will we overcomers? That's our job. Anyway, I've jumped off track. Here we go. I'm going to beat up the sheep. And according to my understanding, there is no gift labeled pew sitter. Okay, our pew warmer. Now, after saying that, compared to many congregations, we have a very active serving congregation. However, our standard's not other churches. Our standard is Jesus Christ. And what Jesus says is, if you were in the Navy, all hands on deck. Every one of you is important. Every one of you has a function in his body. Now, it's like, excuse me, if somebody isn't serving and they're a leg, the body's hopping along. What a sad state of affairs. But God has provided all the gifts in his body to serve him. Okay. Bear with me. I'm a little running a lot behind time. Anyway, Ephesians 4, 13 to 16. Until we obtain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and from by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunningness, by craftiness, by deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part of the body is working properly, makes the body grow so it builds itself up in love. Every part, every one of you is important. And as I said earlier, many people are willing to go to great lengths to join clubs or teams. And in doing so, they agree to abide their goals and rules in exchange for the benefits they receive. We're not a club. We're a body. But in John 14, 15, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We can look at that two ways. I'll show you the way I look at it. It's not a command. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. No. You want to know if you love me? If you're one of my children, you will obey me. You will keep my commandments. Because you were one of my children. Not perfectly, but you will desire to follow what the Word of God says. You will desire to serve in the body. If you're unwilling to follow that, I would ask you to check your relationship with God. You may not be one of His. Okay? So if you're unwilling to say, I love you, Jesus, and I'm willing to serve you with the gifts that you have given me, I'm willing to work in the body, I'm willing to do those things, we need to check our relationship. Okay, and at the final one there it says, okay, building itself up in love. I look at three things. Growing into the likeness of Christ. Serving in the body, so the body works properly, and being part of growing the body in love. Okay, I look at three aspects: relationship with God and our neighbor. That's what Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And he said to him, thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is alike. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depend all of the law and the prophets. Okay, so we got to love God. We got to love our brothers and sisters and our neighbors. Number three, love the world. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always till the end of the age. God has people out there that he has elected. He has given us the privilege of sharing the good news. Okay, that there. The third part of loving the world is to tell them the truth about Jesus. What they do with it, that's between them and Jesus. But we're called to go and do that. And when and there again, you know, it's not to say that it's wrong to bring your non-believers in here. But he didn't say, bring the fish for Tony to clean. He said, you go make disciples. Me, you, all of us, go make disciples. And what? Us, to teach them all that God has taught us. Okay. I thank you. And if there's anybody that doesn't have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, see Pastor Tony, see me, see Dan, see Lisa. But get right with God. As we look out there today, and I know what's been said for 2,000 years, it's just going to be tomorrow before Christ comes back. But folks, Israel has been made a nation. Prophecies have been fulfilled. Evilness is increasing. It sure looks like it's a ripe time that Christ would return. And we're always to be prepared for that. We're always to look forward to that. But it's just, and by the way, I don't see too many young kids in here. So for most of us, I'm just on a generalization, we probably won't be around in 50 years. I don't expect to be around in 30 years or less. Maybe even a whole lot less than that. You know? So our time is getting shorter. But the bottom line boils down to is the time for Christ's return is getting shorter too. We need to go into the world. We need to love God. We need to love each other. I thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we've explored your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that leads your people into all truth. As we leave today, Father, may we bring glory through our lives. May we live lives that glorify you in the power of the Holy Spirit, Father. Not in our power, because in our power we're weak. But Father, in the power of your Holy Spirit, you've created us to praise you. You've created us to worship you. You've created us to bring glory to you, Father. Help us in that arena that we would. Help us to have a heart cry for those that are lost. Help us to look for every opportunity that the Holy Spirit brings before us to speak your truth into the life of the people that we cross their paths or have influence of. Help us to be quick to give you all of the praise that you deserve. I just thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Yeah.